Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So today we're going to meditate on
fire. Navatram.
Huh? And how fire can be an impetus for remembering Krishna. And we're very fortunate because right after the seminar today, there will be a fire in here. And so everybody will get a chance to practice. Of course, to some extent, there's already a fire here in the form of the heat and light of the sun.
Vrućine i svjetlosti sunca.
Oh, wait a minute, I forgot to turn this on. This is the 16th?
Yes.
16th? Okay, this is July 16th, 2008 in Croatia, on fire. Okay. Oh, thank you. So we're going to look at different aspects of fire.
Različite aspekte vatre.
We're going to think about the heat of fire,
o toplini vatre,
the light of fire,
o
electricity,
o elektricitetu,
beauty,
ljepoti.
Then with all of these, we've been examining a different opulence of Krishna. We're going to look at the opulence of beauty. We're also going to meditate on Krishna's form and some of Krishna's pastimes in relationship to fire. So heat is an aspect of fire that is invisible.
Koji je nevidljiv.
So right now we are all feeling the heat from the sun, right?
Vrućinu sunca.
Is everyone feeling some heat from the sun?
Just made of fire.
But you can't see that heat.
Vidjeti tu toplinu.
Sometimes you see ripples in air caused by the heat, but you can't
kako,
see it.
Toplina stvara
in a similar way,
zraku,
Krishna is all around us,
možemo vidjeti,
but we don't see him.
Je svuda oko nas, ali
he's in every atom.
On je svakom
atomu. Krishna says that he's
kaže
like the thread on which pearls are hanging.
Su,
so when you
biseri,
have pearls on
kada,
a thread, do you see the thread?
Biseri nanizani na niti, vidimo
you just know the thread
vidimo,
is there
samo da je
because
tamo,
the pearls
što,
stay in a particular order.
Biseri,
so we can feel the effect of heat,
mi
but we can't
osjetiti učinak
see it.
Topline, ali ne možemo, je vidjeti.
And heat, of course,
I topline,
is also
naravno,
very powerful.
Jako
we've noticed with each
primijetili
of these elements so far, we've had to examine the fact
smo,
that the element itself
smo da
is very, very powerful.
Jako, jako moćni.
Heat can burn. Even the sun at a distance can burn our skins, even badly enough to put us in the hospital. Of course, heat can burn down buildings and entire villages in a moment. And in a similar way, Krishna is also extremely powerful. Fire is so powerful that it has to be handled with great care. If you mishandle fire, you'll be in trouble. So similarly, when we're serving Krishna, there's so many rules, there's different offenses. Otherwise, your dealings with Krishna can cause you difficulty. It's like the demons, they're dealing with Krishna without proper care, and they get killed by Krishna instead of getting love of God. Now, what heat does is it moves and flows.
Right?
Heat is always moving and flowing.
Se uvijek,
heat is
uvijek
moving
teče.
The water cycle.
Toplina,
the heat is evaporating
ciklus,
water from the lakes and the oceans and the rivers.
Jezera, rijeka,
it's moving
oceana.
It up into the clouds.
Se, potom, kreću
it's what's giving us the whole
je,
water cycle.
Nam,
it's what's moving the air. The
ciklus.
Hot air is rising zrak, and causing zrak, the currents of the air. In a similar way, Krishna is invisibly moving everything in the world. Right? Although we don't see that power, it's what's moving and changing things. It's what's propelling us through our life. Heat also excites things. When you cook, what's happening is the heat of the fire is getting the molecules of the food all excited. And they're bouncing and jumping and colliding into one another. And that's what makes the food hot. That's what cooks the food.
hrana,
the microwaves are doing that directly into the middle of the food.
Mikrovalovi.
And Krishna is also very exciting. When we are in touch with Krishna, we are also excited, enlivened, enthused. Right? We change from our position. And the exciting power of fire changes the nature of food. It softens it. It tenderizes it. It makes it digestible. And similarly, being in touch with Krishna also changes us. It transforms our heart. It makes it so we're actually softened and tenderized. I know one devotee who says that to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to want your heart to melt. So melting is due to the application of heat. Right, that changes the form of something into something else. Actually, heat destroys old structures completely and creates new ones. When you're cooking food, it's breaking down often the molecules of the food, recreating it into another kind of structure. Just like if you take broccoli, right, you put it in, it's crispy, then it becomes limp, and finally it practically dissolves. So Krishna is doing that with everything, right? He's transforming everything through the forces of nature. And he's also transforming ourselves, the texture and flavor of food. So also our texture and our flavor. As we take up Krishna consciousness, just like this morning we were reading of all the good qualities of the devotees, so in the same way those good qualities manifest in us due to contact with Krishna. It also, the sun burns away unwanted or nasty things. Actually, the sun is compared, and we all are experiencing, as I say, right now, the heat that we're feeling is from the sun. The sun is compared to the Sudarshan disc of the Lord, which kills the demons and drives away ignorance. And often in the scriptures, Krishna is compared to the sun, which by its burning power burns ignorance to nothing. So the anarthas in our heart, the attachment, the ignorance, no matter how powerful they may be, just like you can have a huge tree, or even if the fire is hot enough, it can melt stone or huge buildings. So all of that ignorance melts by the fire of Krishna. And not only does it burn things and destroy them, but it also sanitizes them. So just like in a hospital or with a doctor's office, they apply heat in order to sanitize. And Krishna is also the supreme purifier of our hearts and our consciousness. He allows us to see things in the proper perspective. Fire is often compared to the Lord's mouth. And this fire of sacrifice that they're building, when we offer the grains into the fire, it's like offering them into the mouth of the Lord. Also, we associate warmth with life. Right? If someone's alive, their body is warm. There's actually a fire in the digestive system that's burning all of the food and turning it into nutrition. And we associate warmth also with love. With life itself and with love. If people are living in a house, then they keep the house warm. They don't allow it to become cold. And Krishna, of course, is the essence of all life. He's the life of all that lives. He is essentially just life. And he is also love. Whenever we feel anything warm, we can find this, even if you're eating a meal and the meal is warm, you can think this warmth of the meal, that is an indication of how warm Krishna is. Just like if you really love someone, they hug you, they give you a warm embrace, we call it, right? They don't give you the cold shoulder. We very much associate warmth with life and with love. And this is something that we can experience practically any time that we're in touch with warmth. We can think of how Krishna is fully alive and fully loving. So now I want to look at the light aspect of fire. I wanted to separate fire into heat and light. So the light of fire, just like now this room is lit up with the fire of the sun, and this light from the fire allows us to see. That way we can acquire knowledge. In the dark, how can you learn anything? We are learning primarily through what we see in the light. And we find that the word light is often associated with knowledge. Please enlighten me. Right? Krishna says, with the shining lamp of knowledge, I dispel all the darkness within their heart. So you're saying the sun is compared to the Sudarshan disc. And the Sudarshan disc is also called a master of speech. One gets the knowledge in order to speak properly. Actually, it's interesting. Sachinanda Maharaj was talking about this a couple days ago, but how the Lord is so full of light that it said that his toenails are emanating so much light that when he puts his lotus feet on a jeweled pedestal covered with multicolored jewels, the light from his toenails is so bright that you can no longer make out all of the different colors. Light also indicates welcome. Well, in the arati ceremony, the main, most important element is the lamp. Actually, without offering a lamp, you cannot properly call it arati. And the idea of turning on a light to welcome guests is there again in all cultures. That's how you know that someone is home. The lights are on. So Krishna is also always welcoming all of us. His mood is very welcoming. He's full of light, full of love, full of receiving, wanting us to come back home and be with him again. I mean, every time we see the light of the sun, we can meditate on this welcoming nature of the Lord. And of course, any kind of light. I mean, right now these light bulbs are turned off. But even the light coming from this light bulb is ultimately coming from the sun, which is coming from Krishna. Because this light is coming, let's say, from oil or fossil fuels. That's plants which have decayed in the earth. Those plants got their energy from photosynthesis, from the sunlight. Or the lights may be existing by hydroelectric power, which is the water flowing down, and the whole water cycle is being engineered by the heat of the sun. If you think of anything that is burned or that is manipulated in order to produce electricity, even the windmill, right? The movements of the air are caused by the heat of the sun. You'll find that's all coming from the sun. So even ordinary light bulbs remind us of Krishna's very welcoming, very joyful, right? Whenever there's a party, you turn on lights. A welcoming, joyful homecoming. And then not only is the And we were saying that the Sudarshan, which is the sun, is called the master of speech. And we can think about how Krishna can do the job of any of his senses with any of the other senses. Angani, yasya, sakalendriya, rittimanti, pasyanti, panti, kalayanti, charamjiganti, ananda, chinmaya, sarujvala, vigrahasya. So even an ordinary person can speak with their eyes to some extent, right?
Svojim očima do neke mjere, zar ne? Mimikom, recimo.
And Krishna is often speaking through his eyes.
Right?
The gopis look at him and he signals to them when they're going to meet, how they're going to meet. So the light of the sun reminds us that Krishna is the source of all speaking, of all knowledge, and of all communication. In fact, we also talk about the light in your eyes as being indicative of love, of friendship, of welcoming, and of light itself, which are all certainly wonderful qualities of Krishna. Lights are involved in many, not only religious holidays, but even secular holidays. People setting off fireworks, lighting candles, even for an ordinary birthday party, we associate that with lights. And that reminds us of how Krishna is full of fun and festivities. It's said in the spiritual world, every day is a festival. And we can just think that whenever there's a festival, it's associated with light, which is associated with
Krishna.
If a person is very jolly, we call them a light-hearted person, right?
prilično,
and Krishna has
svijetlo.
Four aspects to his
Krishna
personality. One of them is Dhira Lalita. Dhira Lalita.
Dhira Lalita
means the young man who's full of fun.
To je mladić koji je pun,
he's always with his friends, joking around, doesn't take anything very seriously. Krishna is very light-hearted. And of course, light is the source of all food. We were saying how light is the sun is the source of all the lights that we have. But everything we eat, if we think for a minute,
ali sve što jedemo, ako malo o tome razmislimo.
Just like today for lunch,
recimo,
I had a potato.
Za ručak sam imala krumpir.
So what is a potato?
I što je to krumpir?
And what is a plant made out of?
Od čega je sačinjena?
It's simply eating the sunlight, right?
Jedemo
sunlight, water, and a little bit of earth minerals. Mostly it's just sunlight. The potato plant is taking the sunlight and transforming it through photosynthesis into a potato. And then I eat that potato, and what's interesting is according to Ayurveda, when I eat that potato, it gradually turns into finer and finer substances until it turns into ojas and tejas, which means light, effulgence. So it turns back into light. And a living person, their eyes have some light, their skin has some brightness. I remember the first time that I saw a living being die was a cat. And you notice immediately this lack of the living effulgence.
I
remember reading a story about this man who worked for the United States government. His job was to kill predator animals, foxes, wolves, coyotes, that were eating the farmers' livestock. So he did this for many, many years. And one day he took his 10-year-old son with him to see if there were any dead animals in the trap. And they came to a trap and they found a coyote who was still alive. And as they watched, the animal died. The boy turned to his father and said, "Daddy, why did the light go out of his eyes?" At that moment, the man had a change of heart, and he never again engaged in killing of animals. But the point is that we're eating the sunlight, it transforms into plants, goes into our body, and again is manifested as heat and light. In fact, great yogis can eat directly from the sunshine. They don't need to eat sunshine transformed into food. And in fact, I know of a couple devotees in our Krishna consciousness movement who are able to do that. There's also very cooling light, like the light of the moon, which is Lord Nityananda's lotus feet are compared to millions and millions of moons. And of course, Krishna's face and the various parts of his body are also compared to the moon. So light can also be a very soothing and relaxing experience, just like when comes in the shade of Krishna's shelter, one feels great relief. Then we can also examine Krishna's opulence of beauty, because light allows us to see form. Actually, everything that's beautiful is dependent on light in order to be able to appreciate the beauty. Yesterday we were looking at the light dancing on the waves of the water and how attractive that is. But without light, how is anything beautiful? To see the beauty of the trees, the beauty of the cloth, the beauty of the pictures, everything here is dependent on light. So that light coming from Krishna, Krishna is the most beautiful. And we can think about Krishna's form, how he's the source of all colors. You know, not only is Krishna blue, but he is every variety of color. And all color and all different kinds of form are coming from him. Actually, he is the original prototype from which all other forms are coming. And Krishna is so beautiful that every part of his body is beautiful. I mean, generally in this world, if someone's very, very beautiful, you don't say to them, "Oh, your toenails are beautiful, your earlobes are beautiful," right? But with Krishna, it's like that, everything. The tip of his nose, the joints of his fingers, the little bits of hair that are on his belly, every single aspect of the Lord is very beautiful. And there are many of the acharyas who've written descriptions like this of Krishna's beauty, going from the feet up to the head and down again, comparing each with something beautiful that we have experience of in the world. But when the devotees actually see Krishna, they realize that you can't compare his beauty to anything else. That really there's no way to describe the Lord's beauty. That, and Krishna's beauty is so overwhelming that people seeing the Lord become completely stunned. You know, we see sometimes a very attractive person in this world. I one time saw in an airport this young woman who was so beautiful that everybody who walked by had just stopped or turned their head. You know, everybody, men, women, children, everyone was just completely entranced by this woman. And this was a long time ago when you could smoke in airports. And after some time, she took out a cigarette. And immediately then, she wasn't so attractive anymore. And that was many years ago. It was probably 20, 30 years ago. I'm sure right now she's not so attractive. But it's very, very rare to find someone in this world who is that beautiful. But just imagine how beautiful is Krishna. Right, if some person on the earth planet in Kali Yuga can make 1,000 people stop and turn their heads, and that's just representing a tiny bit of a tiny bit of a tiny bit of the beauty of Krishna. Krishna's form glistens. Just like yesterday we were seeing the play of light on the water. Or even here on this plastic, the light is somewhat reflecting off of the plastic. So Krishna's form is also reflecting and glistening. It's described that as Krishna's earrings swing, that they're reflecting off his sapphire-hued cheeks. And sometimes Radharani looks at Krishna's chest, and she sees her own reflection. And seeing her own reflection, she thinks that Krishna's embracing another gopi, and she becomes angry. And her friends have to say, "No, no, Radharani, that's your reflection." Right? So we don't have forms like that. Right? My form doesn't reflect anything, maybe just in my eyes. But Krishna's form is so like that, glistening and reflective, like a jewel. Actually, Mother Yasoda sees baby Krishna, she says, "Oh, he looks like a sapphire, and his hands look like rubies, his eyes look like pearls." She says, "Is this a child, or is this some combination of jewels?" Then, of course, Krishna has a number of pastimes in relationship to fire. We were saying how Krishna's tongue is considered the fire of sacrifice. And we see in the universal form that Arjuna saw on the battlefield. He said, "I see blazing fire coming out of your mouth." And in the form of Anantasesha, fire comes out of the Lord's mouth. And he burns up the whole universe. There's also a couple of very nice stories. One is of the Shiva Jwara and Narayanajwara. So there was a grandson of Krishna named Aniruddha. And there was another, a very qualified young princess named Usha. And Usha one time dreamt about Aniruddha. In the middle of the night, she was calling out, "Oh, my dear beloved, where are you?" And then she woke up and her friend said, "Who's this beloved of yours you're dreaming about?" And Usha said, "Well, I really don't know. I just had this dream, but I don't know who this person is." So her friend was able, by mystic power, to draw pictures of everyone in the universe. And when she came to the picture of Aniruddha, Usha said, "Yes, that's the one." So her friend said, "Well, I'm a mystic yogini. I can go kidnap him for you." So she kidnapped Aniruddha, Krishna's grandson, and brought her to Usha's palace. But in those days, men and women didn't live together before they were married. But because they had brought Aniruddha there in the middle of the night, he didn't marry Usha. They just hung out together. And Usha became so happy. Have you ever seen people when they're first, man and woman, when they're first being together, when they first fall in love, what they look like? They're just glowing with happiness, right? Someone was telling me the other day how her sister is getting married, and she said, "My sister just doesn't even talk to me anymore. We were always so close, and now she's ignoring me." And I said, "Oh, a year and a half, she'll Sada
se
udaje. Don't worry about it.
Sada se udaje.
But when men and women are first in love, it's like that. They're just glowing with happiness, and they don't notice the rest of the world. So the palace guards noticed that Usha was just floating in the air, and they said, "You know, I think she must be in love. But how can she be in love? There's no man around here for her to fall in love with." And so they went to her father, and they said, "We think your daughter is consorting with a man." So her father came to the palace, and indeed he saw Aniruddha there. There was a fierce battle, and he arrested Aniruddha. Well, Usha's father was a devotee of Shiva. And there Aniruddha was in prison. Krishna and his family found out about it and came with a huge army to rescue Aniruddha. At which point, Lord Shiva came to protect his devotee. So there was a huge fight between Krishna and his army on one side and Usha's father and his army with Lord Shiva and his associates on the other. So, of course, Krishna was winning, as he always does, and therefore Lord Shiva felt, I have to protect my devotee. Therefore, he called out his supreme weapon of his Shiva Jwara. The Shiva Jwara had three heads and three legs, and when he walked, he was a weapon in the form of a being, that when he walked, he shook the earth like an earthquake, and the fire was so hot, it seemed as if the whole universe would be destroyed. So then Krishna brought out his counter weapon of his Narayana Jwara, which is extremely cold. And the Shiva Jwara and the Narayana Jwara were fighting, and gradually the fire of the Shiva Jwara went down. And the Shiva Jwara felt that he was going to be killed. He then appealed to Krishna and he said, "My dear Lord, you're the master of the world. You please protect me." It's interesting that he didn't go to his own master, Lord Shiva. Rather, he went to the master of the opposing weapon, Lord Krishna. And Krishna saved his life and said, "Anyone who remembers this fight between the Shiva Jwara and the Narayana Jwara will never experience defeat." This is a very nice story to remember if ever you're in some kind of a conflict. So the other story we have about Krishna and fire, it's actually two very related stories. And if you're going to Chandramouli Maharaj's seminar, I'm sure you're going to hear about these two stories because they're related to the demons of Vrindavana. So the first fire was after Krishna chastised the Kaliya snake in the Yamuna River. So there was this huge poisonous snake that was polluting the Vrindavan area, and Krishna danced on his hoods, hundreds of different hoods that Krishna was dancing on, until Kaliya became exhausted at the point of death. His wives begged Krishna for Kaliya's release, and Krishna then banished Kaliya to leave the lake in the Jamuna. Well, by that time, everybody was tired. It was late. I mean, the residents of Vrindavan were pretty exhausted because they had been in so much fear that Krishna might be killed. Of course, Krishna can never die. But that is their mood. And then so much anxiety watching Krishna dance on Kaliya, happy anxiety. You know, wow, how's Krishna going to deal with this Kaliya snake? So, you know, like if you go through a really exciting day, how you feel this kind of happy, tired at the end of the day? So the residents were feeling this kind of happy, satisfied, tired, and they lay down and rested by the bank of the Yamuna. They just slept there for the night instead of going back to their homes. Right? Wouldn't that be fun? Just sleep by the bank of the Jamuna. That's another pastime in which all the residents of Vrindavan gather together. As we mentioned when speaking about the earth, so generally Krishna is with his parents, or he's with the young cowherd girls, or he's with the cowherd boys, but he's not usually with everybody at the same time. However, when Krishna was dancing on Kaliya, all the residents of Vrindavan came to see him, to kind of cheer him on. Right? So they were all there. And while they were resting there, a forest fire came up, which Krishna swallowed. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says that that forest fire is like the fighting between religious people. So just like the Protestants used to fight with the Catholics in Northern Ireland, you know, the Muslims are fighting with the Jews, or the Muslims are fighting with the Hindus or with the Christians, or different Muslim groups are fighting with each other, and even not physical fighting, but even there may be philosophical fighting. Oh, we are better religion than you. Hey, you're all going to hell, and we're going to heaven. That kind of fighting between religions, whether it's philosophical fighting or bullets fighting, that's compared to the Sfaris fire that threatens to destroy all genuinely religious people. And that can only be counteracted by Krishna himself, who swallows it. Says, yes, we'll be finished with this. The next forest fire is a little bit longer story. So you ready for a nice story? So one day there was this demon, Pralamba, who appeared like a cowherd boy. And in a mock battle between different sets of cowherd boys, lost the battle, and therefore was carrying the victor, Lord Balaram, who's an incarnation of Krishna, on his shoulders. He wanted to go away from Krishna, Pralamba did, because he knew that Krishna was very powerful. So he crossed the Yamuna and he went to Bandiravan, where there's a very large banyan tree. And on the way there, Balaram noticed that, hey, you know, this is really a demon. And Balaram felt very heavy, and the demon assumed his real form, at which point Balaram killed him. So by the time that happened, they were under this banyan tree. And Krishna and the cowherd boys all ran and crossed the Jamuna and came to Bandiravan, all the cows also. They were all congratulating Balaram. Well, after all this excitement of demon killing, the boys got very, very absorbed in their play. Now, the boys had a job to do. They didn't go to the forest just to play. What was the job that the boys had? To take care of the cows. Actually, they were also taking care of some other animals. There were goats and buffalo there also. So the boys were playing and playing and playing and playing and playing. And they forgot about their service. So does that sometimes happen? We forget what we're supposed to be doing? We get involved in talking to someone or doing something. Oh my goodness, I have something I have to do. So they forgot. Now meanwhile, the cows, goats, and buffalo started looking and thinking, I think there's some greener grass over there. Look over there. And they started wandering away. Now, sometimes this happens to devotees. All the cows, goats, and buffalo are all devotees of Krishna. Sometimes devotees, even when they're with Krishna, they think, I wonder if there's some more enjoyment over there. Maybe there's something else I can try. So the cows, goats, and buffalo were thinking like this, and they wandered so far, they crossed the Jamuna, and they wandered 15 kilometers from where Krishna and the cowherd boys were playing. As they went that far, they're looking and looking for green grass. And looking for that green grass, they stumbled into a forest fire. Then they got very frightened and they started to run away from the fire. As they were running away, they accidentally went into a field of sugar cane. And the leaves of sugar cane plants can be very sharp. And the canes were very close together. So the animals were stuck. They couldn't move. So they were stuck in the sugar cane and they felt the heat behind them. And they started to cry. Meanwhile, back in Bandiravan, the cowherd boys noticed that their animals had gone. And they were very sorry. Actually, of course, Krishna wanted just to do some pastime, but the cowherd boys were feeling very sorry. And they said, oh, our animals have wandered off while we were playing. And they looked everywhere for the cows, the goats, and the buffalo, and they couldn't find them. Finally, some of the boys saw that where the animals had walked on the grass, they had flattened the grass and made a path. And especially where the cows had been munching the grass, there was a path. So they got all excited and they start following. And of course, the cowherd boys are concerned about the animals because that's their service. That's also their livelihood.
In addition, because
these cows go to Buffalo and Vrindavan are all Krishna's devotees. So as they're following the path, they hear the animals crying, the sugar cane. And then Krishna starts calling the name of his animals. So Maharaj was saying the other day that Krishna sometimes calls the name of his animals with his flute. But he has another way of calling the name of his animals. Just like we have our beads. And we have 108 beads. You know why we have 108 beads? What they're for? 108 gopis. So Krishna also has beads. And his beads are not made out of tulsi wood. Krishna's beads are made out of jewels. And on each bead represents a group of cows. Either a different color of cows or cows with different shaped heads. And Krishna takes his beads, this is explained very nicely in Krishna book. He takes his beads and as he goes through his beads, he's calling the names of each of his cows. Now, this time Krishna was calling his cows' names with kind of a thundering voice. Why do you think Krishna was sort of having a thundering voice when he called their names? He was afraid that they were hurt, and he was also angry. Right? Because the cows had wandered off looking for fresh grass. They didn't stay under his protection. So Krishna was thundering out the names of the cows, and the cows were responding by mooing. They were so happy to hear their master's voice. So then Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys, they go to the sugar cane, and they're moving the cane, and they're finally getting all their animals out. They're so happy. Meanwhile, the animals, being very close to this forest fire, have become very, very thirsty. Just like we get very, very thirsty when we're in a hot place. And the boys, after walking 15 kilometers looking for the animals, were also feeling very thirsty. So they're hot and tired and thirsty, and they're walking back to Bandiravan, and as they take just a few steps, they've gone just a few meters, the fire, which had been a little distanced away, it was carried by the chariots of the wind. Just like, you know, the chariot driver is whipping the horses. So the winds were whipping the fire. And the fire came, it had been at some distance away, came and surrounded all of the boys and all of the animals. So at this point, the boys called to Krishna, Krishna, Balaram, we're your friends. Don't let us die in this way. Please, please save us. So of course, it's not that the boys were afraid for their own life, as an ordinary person wants to live their life for their plans. But they were afraid to be separated from Krishna, and they didn't want the animals to be hurt. So Krishna said, and Prabhupada says that Krishna said this by speaking through his eyes. So he was talking about how the sun is Krishna's eye. So Krishna said, whether he said externally or through his eyes, he said, don't worry, close your eyes. So the acharyas explained that the cowherd boys were thinking, why is Krishna asking us to close our eyes? Oh, maybe Krishna is going to put out this fire with mantras and herbs, and he doesn't want us to see his tricks. Right, okay, we'll close our eyes. And the acharyas say that Krishna asked the cowherd boys to close their eyes because he was going to do something very wonderful, but also because he knew that if the cowherd boys saw him drinking the fire, they'd get really upset. They'd think he might be hurt, and they'd run through the fire themselves to try to stop him. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also says that Krishna must have been thirsty for fire. So we know that Krishna likes to eat spicy food, right? Those of you who cook. So Krishna also has some appetite for fire. So Krishna didn't want to just eat cayenne peppers and ginger. He wanted to eat real fire. Some of the acharyas say that the fire appeared to fulfill this desire of Krishna. Some people say that the fire was a demon who was angry at the killing of Prahlambasura and therefore came to attack Krishna. In any case, the devotees don't like to hear about Krishna drinking the fire because they're afraid that his delicate body will be damaged. So therefore, the acharyas explain that as soon as Krishna went to drink the fire, that in the palm of his hand, the fire turned into a very cooling, refreshing beverage. that then Krishna drank. So he was very satisfied by drinking this fire. Then the cowherd boys noticed that there's no heat anymore. And some of them on Krishna's request and some of them on their own opened their eyes and looked around. They saw there was no fire. And there they were, suddenly back in the Bandira forest underneath the banyan tree with the cool Jamuna nearby to drink. So all of us are using fire to heat our homes, to cook our food, to light our homes. We're out in the heat and light of the sun and so many other, the fire of our digestion. In all of these circumstances, we can in some way think about Krishna, how the qualities of the heat remind us of Krishna, the qualities of the light remind us of Krishna, how the beauty that we are able to perceive through light remind us of Krishna's beauty, and Krishna's pastimes with fire. So I thought again we'd go around and each person can say something about fire in relation to Krishna that they particularly want to remember. So why don't we start with you?
Something particular about the fire? You mean something you said now?
Yes. Or it could be something also that you've thought of about fire that I didn't say.
Okay. Well, thank you, first of all, for everything you said. It was a new way of looking at the world around me. It was really inspiring. I especially like the thing you said about the light in our eyes, how it's actually a symptom of life. And I also know that... You can see, especially in the devotees' eyes and in their face, how they are shining, how they are effulgent. And this is what many people actually notice about the devotees, how they are effulgent and they have a special glow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. Huh? That he has that brilliance. Yeah, so when we see a person's glow, we can remember how brilliant Krishna is. So what do you remember that you like?
Znači da neki sadovi ne trebaju niti koristiti, ne moraju jesti hranu, dovoljno je da jednostavno uzmu svjetlost sunca i to mi je bilo zanimljivo jako.
Yes, I know two devotees in this kind that can do that. Actually, ultimately, that can remind us that the great saintly persons, they just take from Krishna directly. They don't need, the Krishna is fully satisfying. They don't need to take anything else but Krishna. Okay, you there in the back, what is it that you can remember from fire? Okay, what about you? Oh, how the fire became a cooling beverage.
Yeah.
And you there? Yes, you. What?
When you described how Krishna was effulgent when he was a little baby, when you described his effulgence.
His effulgence and how he looked like jewels. Yes, in the right behind you. Yes, with the orange. So what would you like to remember about fire?
I wasn't here the whole time, but I especially liked when you said how Krishna can make everything melt by his heat.
Ah, how everything, our heart melts by his heat. Yes. You there in the green? Yeah.
I also wasn't here the whole time, but the thing that I liked especially was when you said how Srimati Radharani sees her reflection in Krishna's body.
Oh, how Radharani sees the reflection, how Krishna is shining.
Kako Krishna sjaji.
And you next? Yeah.
And the same thing for
the
me,
same
too.
For Ani. And you, sir? In the back? What is there that you would like to remember about fire?
Чего би се ви желели сечат о ватри?
The gentleman right in the back.
I came just a minute ago.
Huh?
He just came 1 minute ago. So.
Oh, okay. The gentleman who's sitting close to the speaker in the chair.
Можете ви исто нешто речи? О ватри. Нешто што вам је остало из предавања сада. How Krishna enjoyed when he swallowed the fire.
Oh, how it was pleasurable for him. Okay, and the devotee who's sitting down there by the tree, what is it you'd like to remember about fire?
Oj, bakta koji sjedi do drveta. Da. Mm-hmm. I was fascinated by the fact how we eat food that is directly Krishna's energy, that is transformed Krishna's energy.
Oh. Okay, and what about the gentleman with the camera?
Šta je sa kamermanom? Kamerman.
Cameraman. What do you want to remember about fire?
Sjetio nečega o vatri. Ništa iz današnjeg predavanja.
Okay, well, we're going to have a fire sacrifice here in a few minutes.
Za nekoliko trenutaka imat ćemo i žrtvenu vatru.
So Krishna is providing a very nice opportunity to meditate on him through fire.
Da meditiramo na njega u obliku vatre.
Thank you very much, Hare
Krishna.
Puno vam
hvala i Hare Krishna.